I know you're gonna dig this.
Now it's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's our host for Between the Minutes, Peter Dottie.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. In the past, you heard me talk about international cooperation between policing organizations to take down international cyber crook gangs. I reported on the first international takedown. You also heard about scareware, which is fake antivirus or other fake software that attempts to scare you into purchase of the software or service. Normally, this is a fake antivirus product that is actually a hostile program engaged in identity fraud for the purpose of emptying your bank account and credit cards. Today, I am announcing that the FBI reports another international takedown success. Operation Trident Tribunal is an international effort operated by the United States, United Kingdom, Sweden, Lithuania, France, Germany, Latvia, and the Netherlands. This international gang of crooks is from Latvia. Having been arrested, they face fines of $500,000 and 10 years in prison. It's estimated that 960,000 victims paid them $72 million. Latvian authorities already started the process of seizing the money, which was located in five bank accounts. These guys lost the money, have to pay a fine that they will never get out from under, and just lost 10 years of their life. This is not the end. A second criminal group that used online advertising to spread its scareware was indicted in U.S. District Court in Minneapolis after being arrested in Latvia by the Latvian authorities. This second gang of crooks was led by a 22-year-old Latvian man and a 23-year-old Latvian woman. Using a phony advertising agency, they purchased online advertising space on the Minneapolis Star Tribune's news website for a hotel chain. Once the advertisement was operational on the Tribune's site, they switched it to install malicious software that caused victim computers to freeze up and generate pop-up advertisements for their fake antivirus. The scam created $2 million in losses. The defendants faced penalties of 20 years in prison, fines of $500,000 on wire fraud, conspiracy, and computer fraud charges. This is in addition to restitutions and forfeiture of their illegal gains. This shows that the Wild West mentality of the Internet is over. The star of the old cowboy Western TV show Gunsmoke, Matt Dillon, has come to town in the form of the FBI and strong global partners to end all sanctuary for cyber crooks. Expect to hear more of this type of international cooperation in the future with additional successes. Once again, congratulations to the FBI and Latvian police. Good job. The next story is from the IDG News Service, who reports a hacker civil war is getting hot. We spoke about the Lutzik's hacking group in the past. Unlike many crooks, these guys seem to be motivated by the thrill of doing something illegal instead of money. Their slogan is approximately having fun at your expense. They are the group that hacked Sony, Nintendo, and PBS. Recently, they were attacked by multiple hackers who succeeded in taking down their website. Other hackers have been working towards revealing the identity of the Lutzik's members. Of course, this is all good news for their victims. Actually, the best news happened yesterday and was reported by PC World. Lutzik called it quits and is disbanding, asking its followers to follow another hacking group, which we also spoke about in the past, Anonymous. As part of its retirement package, Lutzik announced data from prominent victims, including the CIA, the U.S. Senate, Sony, and America Online. While Lutzik may be retired, the FBI has not. I'm sure we'll be seeing these guys again, but this time in court. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article Inside Your Computer every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security. Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a TownWatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a TownWatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show and talking to you about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you could purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. That's 1 year of protection for the low price of $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that is 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For a limited time, buy 1 year of Windows antivirus protection for $24.95. You heard right, $24.95. Go to www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com.
Between the Minutes continues on 860 AM WWDB. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Our special guest today is Karen Brown, Republican running for mayor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, this isn't the first time we had you here, and you really surprised us because we didn't know who you were when we first brought you here, but you really had a strong showing. And since that time, I've seen that you're starting to get a lot more attention from the media. One of the things you had said before was the media was ignoring you.
I'm getting attention, but not directly. It's they use me to refer to me as the other person running for Michael Nutter. The other person running for Michael Nutter's position.
Did they actually say it like that? The other person running for Michael Nutter's position?
Yes.
Or for mayor?
No, they actually say the other person running for Michael Nutter's position. They haven't given me the kudos to say I'm running for mayor yet.
Okay. Well, you won the primary. I mean, you are the Republican candidate. Did you expect to win?
I did expect to win. I was surprised that it was such a close run, but I was running against John Fetterman, who had been a Republican for a lifetime, and me being a Republican only for 10 weeks, I still came through.
Yeah. Hey, this show is live, and you can call in and ask Karen Brown questions yourself. Our phone number here at 860 AM WWDB is 610-664-4100. Again, that's 610-664-4100. So you won the primary, but you're a Republican, and there hasn't been a Republican mayor since Mayor Frank Rizzo. Even Frank Rizzo Jr., you know, didn't get elected as mayor. And Frank Rizzo Jr. wasn't Frank Rizzo. Why you? How can you be elected when we haven't had a Republican mayor since Frank Rizzo?
I'm going to give you another statistic. There hasn't been an incumbent mayor taken down since 1865. So not only will I break that record, I will break the record of not having a Republican mayor for 65 years. The reason why is because the Democrats, I was a Democrat for 31 years, and they know who I am. They know where I've, what I've done. They know where I've been. So there's no denying my Democratic history. And that still is important to the Democrats that are out there. And I think the Democrats are tired of what they see in their politics. And I'm hoping that they will not look at the R or the D, but look at the person and what I can do that's different from what they have now. And I think everybody wants something different than what they have now.
But aren't they going to see you as the enemy now that you turned from, you know, Democrat to Republican?
I'm nobody's enemy. I'm not the Democrats' enemy, or nor am I the Republican enemy. But let's be serious. If you want to get money from your mom, are you going to go to your dad? If our state is Republican, then where's the money coming from? We need to be on the side of the team that has the purse, and that's what side I'm on. I need to bring money back into the city to try to change some of the problems that are in it.
That's a good point. Well, you wouldn't be the first. I mean, Senator Spector, of course, changed from Democrat to Republican and then back to Democrat. So the city does seem to ignore that if it likes the person. So, you know, I don't see that as a real problem for you, and hopefully you won't have that problem. But again, you know, you have a very different idea on how you want to see the city go. I have your vision statement here. It's called A Vision of Greatness, and it's pretty interesting. You know, I'll just quote a little bit. When families and businesses decide where to locate, three big factors are considered: schools, safety, taxes. Let's take it in order. Schools. How are you going to fix the schools?
I don't believe in giving good money after bad. Obviously, Ackerman has no clue as to what she's doing. And she keeps spending money on crazy things like $23 million to educate a SummerSlam program for 700 kids. And then when she was asked how many of those children actually graduated, she said only 2/3. Why are we wasting our taxpayers' money on such nonsense? Truly, I think we need to do is we need to look at these schools. We need to keep the magnum schools that are actually working. We need to keep the charter schools that are coming out fiscally responsible. They're actually either breaking out even and coming out with a surplus. And we need to go into the public school system. And if we can't revamp them, shut them and turn them into charters. We need to give parents what they want. And they want competitive schools. They want to be able to say that I don't have to move out of my neighborhood to find a decent school. There's a good one in my neighborhood. We're not giving them none that. Now.
Well, you're right. I mean, a lot of the graduates coming out of the school system, with the exception of the magnet schools and some schools which are really good, is abysmal. I mean, we're graduating high school kids that can't do simple arithmetic, that can't really read or write well. And it used to be if you came out of high school, you knew the guy could read and write. You knew he could do simple arithmetic, and that's no longer true. But the Philadelphia Inquirer did an article years ago on what's wrong with the Philadelphia school system. And what it came up with was, really simply put, too many chefs or too many chiefs, not enough teachers. They compared the Philadelphia school system to the Philadelphia parochial school system. Parochial school system had maybe a half a dozen non-teacher administrators, whereas the Philadelphia school system had a lot of administrators, all of whom were paid well. I mean, how would you address that?
We're too top heavy in our government and in our school system. We need to get rid of some of the chiefs and put more Indians on the ground. We need more teachers. I truly believe that the teachers know what's wrong with the schools, but they're not given the tools to actually fix it. There's some things wrong with the teachers themselves, though, too. Tenure tends to make our teachers not accountable. And I believe that we should be doing merit pay for our teachers, making them accountable. If you're able to turn your class around, then you get a merit pay. If you're not, then you get a pink slip. And we need to hold people accountable because these are our kids. I believe that we need to go back to the old ways, too, where we're bringing back business schools. Remember the old business secretarial schools?
Absolutely.
We need them again because we're not training our kids for employment. We're not training them for anything. They're going out of school, and the only thing that they could actually possibly do is find some kind of work in there, hopefully not at McDonald's. But the gangs are grabbing them because they're not educated for anything else. We need to turn them back into – they're starting to come up again. If you see, some of the charter schools are becoming trade-oriented. Like there's the electrical school that Johnny Dock has started. There's Prep Charter who's doing what Drexel does and giving them a co-op where they go into – they spend half the day going into businesses and learning how businesses work. We need to start doing that because not every kid is geared for college. We need to make our high schools geared for the kids, not geared for tests. And that's what we're doing. Ackerman's wrong. Those tests mean nothing if the teacher is teaching to the test. We need to get teachers that want to teach our kids, not teach because there's a test waiting ahead of us.
But then how would you measure whether the teachers are turning around the students or not, except through testing?
I'm going to take people like David Hardy, who turned a school around in a neighborhood that was falling and got a success story. I'm going to model what he's done and literally go through, not like Nutter's doing, giving money to Ackerman and hoping she's doing a good job. I was a school teacher. So I am going to go with a group of retired school teachers. I'm going to develop my own little group, and we're going to go from school to school to school until we've seen them all. I've done that now. I've been going visiting them. And we need to see and talk to the teachers, not the principals, the teachers. The teachers will tell you what they need to get their kids around. I don't think that there's teachers out there that don't want to teach. There may be a few, but for the most part, these teachers want to do a good job because teaching, you don't go in it for pay. Most times, unless you're in Council Rock, you're not making top dollar. You're doing this because this is something you love and something. It's a vocation.
I agree with you. Nobody goes into teaching or police or fire or any of the services for money because, A, the money's not there, and, B, it's a tough profession. I mean, people don't realize how hard it is to have a room full of kids and you're trying to teach them something. If they don't want to learn, they're not going to. I think you're right. Teachers want to teach. They want to succeed. But the environment in which they're in is an environment of failure. Okay? Their hands are tied. They don't have a choice. It upsets me that they just raised the real estate tax again to give the money to the school district when the Inquirer said the problem wasn't the money so much as it was that they're top heavy. They need to cut too many decision makers who are not making decisions. What do you think about that?
Well, when I get in, and I'm going to say when I get in, Ackerman and the school reform board is gone. I think we need an elected school board, and it should reflect the people in the city. And I truly believe you need to sit down with the teachers. I mean, Christie got slammed when he did it. He sat down with the teachers. The unions were part of it, but he needs to sit down with the teachers. And he tried to find out what was going on and what the problems were. We need to do that. We need to find out from them. I don't want to know from the administration and the school board because they're so far removed from the schools themselves. How could they possibly know what's wrong? Unless you're in that trenches with them, how do you know? You're just looking at figures on a piece of paper. You're not there every day. You're right. We're setting them up for failure. We have behavior problems that aren't being addressed in these schools. These teachers are not given the equipment to teach. So how could they possibly do what they want to do? So we need to go back to the little Indians on the ground there, and we need to work with them to give them what they need, not give money to somebody who doesn't have a clue.
Well, you're right. And, of course, the whole problem is what you just said. If they're top heavy, they're spending money on management that is out of touch with what's actually going on. The environment that the teachers find themselves in, the pressure that they find themselves under, is an environment that's causing failure. And you know what? The kids are paying the price, and that's really unfair.
Eventually, those kids will be taking care of us. Look at our future.
Oh, God.
So if we don't get a handle on it now, what's going to happen to our city? We're going to have a bunch of children that can't do anything.
Yeah, and you're right, by the way. Businesses still need to hire secretaries, bookkeepers, whatever they're called these days. And there is nobody training anyone to be a secretary or a bookkeeper. If you want to hire somebody who has those skills, you're looking at an older person, you know. And yet those jobs didn't go away. They just changed. Now, if you're a bookkeeper, you need to know how to use something like QuickBooks. If you're a secretary, you need to know how to use email and Word for Windows. But the basic job of what you're doing hasn't changed, and there's nobody teaching it anymore.
It would be great if we didn't have to wait to college to actually teach those things. If we had charter schools that actually developed those skills for us, because they used to do it. There was St. Monica's Business School in South Philly. There was St. Anne's in Port Richmond. But they were looked upon as being not as good as the regular high schools. They are as good as the regular high schools because they do educate the kids. They educate them for something that they could be hired with.
And every small business needs people like this. So it's not a matter that they won't get jobs. They will get jobs. They may actually get jobs before a college graduate gets a job. Let's move on to safety, okay? There were 33 shootings over the weekend. Just to put that into perspective, that's almost a full bus of people, and they were killed just this weekend, murdered. Can you address that?
I see the whole safety issue with the firemen and the cops. I can't imagine why he continues to cut their services. These policemen have equipment that are 15 years old. There's not enough cops, and yet he freezes employment on them or he cuts back. He's looking to cut back overtime for police and firemen. So what happens if your house burns down at 7:30 and the fireman goes off duty at 8? Is he supposed to say, hey, wait a minute, if I take that fire, I'm not getting paid?
You know they won't. You know they're going to stay there, and that's probably part of what's being they're hoping.
But I mean, that's what they're hoping. They're hoping that they're going to go and address the issue, even though they're not getting paid. But I mean, is that fair to ask somebody who's risking their life for their job to not get paid for the hours they're putting in?
No, it's not. But actually, your example was what happens if the fire's at 7:30 and they go off at 8. What's better is what happens if the fire is at 8:15 and they went off at 8. Then what happens? Well, then they have to come from much further away, and that's much more time that the fire is going to run.
I truly don't understand how a man can give the Ramsey $60,000 and not give his cops what they need. You're giving the, again, he's the master of top heavy. He believes in paying the administration and not paying the Indians. The Indians, I believe the cops and the firemen, first of all, they need an increase in pay. $35,000 to run into an empty building or take a bullet. Are you kidding? How many people actually want to do that for a living? Not me.
Well, they want to do it, but not for what they're being paid. They want to do it because of who they are.
And we're lucky that we have people out there that are willing to do that. But we need to address their needs first and foremost. We need to make sure that they are safe, too. There's not enough of them on the street, and we have too much crime running rampant. And part of that problem is, too, that he's cut so many services with the kids. There's no after-school programs. I mean, he opened the pools. Wow. He's cut so many other services that divert the kids off the street, get them out of these gangs, and we don't have these shootings.
I don't know about this year, but in prior years, the city didn't pay to open the pools. It was actually a donation from the Union League.
It is donations again. It's not the city that's done it. He's cut. He doesn't believe that we need to direct our kids' activities. I guess he figures after school, it's good for him to hang on the corner with the drug dealer. I don't get it. We need to open up more rec centers. We need to divert these kids into sports and to things that educate them away from the drug dealers. We need to nip the drug dealers' workforce in the butt so we can stop these killings. Because even though we put tons of cops on the street, if we don't correct the problems with the kids going into the gangs and the gangs becoming the major employment in this city, we have a problem.
Well, like you said, standing on the street corner with the drug dealers, that is sort of a business education, but it's not good long-term prospects. You know, unless, of course, you either like getting lead poisoning in the form of a bullet or you like getting three hots and a cot for 20 years. So, you know, those are problems. You got to do something. Town Watch. Town Watch has been on our show many times. We love Town Watch. It's extremely effective. It's extremely cost-effective. Yet its budget is always constantly under potential cut. What do you think about Town Watch?
I like Town Watch because I'm the president of Southbrook Civic, and we use Town Watch to help us close down some of the crack houses in the neighborhood. Town Watch goes and knows its community, and it works with the police department and it works with the civic groups to keep control in the city. And if we had more Town Watch groups and they were actually funded and appreciated, we'd have less crime, because drug dealers do not like when people are walking in their neighborhood. They don't like when they're watching them do drug deals and can get on their cell phones and call on the cops. That's a problem.
They don't like when people are trained on how to observe and report. They don't like when people have radios. And it's not that they know the community. They are the community. Plus, there's additional benefits. Town Watch teaches a holistic style, which has direct benefits in people's lifestyles. So personally, I think that, you know, Town Watch is a good thing, and we should see more of it. The police like it. The communities like it, and it's cost effective. It's the best benefit for the dollar you're going to get. Let's move on to taxes. All right. Tell me about the soda tax.
I actually went up and testified against that. But, we're in the city of cannolis, cheesesteaks, and pretzels, and your tax and soda.
Wait a minute. You better not tax cheesesteaks.
Or cannolis. I love Termini's cannolis.
Okay, good.
But, I mean, you're talking about child obesity and you're referring it to the soda. I mean, I've seen kids line up in Geno's, and I love Geno's. But, I mean, they're between the cheesesteaks and cannolis and pretzels. soda is the least of the problem for their obesity. He used that as a bait and switch. Again, he did it last year. He did it this year. That's another way to hide the property tax that he snuck in right afterwards. He got everybody excited, all the Teamsters, all the Coke people, everybody who has anything to do with soda, all the small businesses. Oh, we're going to do the soda thing. You're not going to sell soda. Everybody's going to go to Delaware to get their soda. Meanwhile, he's sneaking in a property tax. You know, this year it was less than last year, though. Last year it was 10%. This year it was 3.65%. Yeah, but it's always a bait and switch with them.
But the property taxes for the school system, which, of course, really doesn't need it. They just need to cut fat. But do you think this property tax increase will ever go away?
No. Temporary tax with Nutter? He's the man that created 23 taxes in his administration. He put on a service tax.
Heinz probably is going to get upset about that, because isn't that Heinz 23 flavors or something?
They should call Nutter 23 flavors. He actually put a service tax on nail salons. I went to get my nails done, and she said, you know, we're paying 10% now. 10%. It was 5% last year. It's 10% now. On service. Every service I do, they pay 10% on. Never in my life. I said, now that he's gotten to service, he's nail salons, standing salons, anything you do. He's got a service tax on.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on 860 AM WWDB. I'm Pete Rodotti. And our special guest is Karen Brown. She's the Republican running for mayor. This is a live show. You can call in at 610-664-4100. Well, we're still talking about taxes. And 23 different new taxes. Can you recite any of them?
Well, there's the parking tax, 20% on your when you go into a parking lot. Parking lots are not high enough. He added 20% to it.
Okay.
There's a flower tax. Believe it or not, florists pay a flower tax. There is a service tax on nail salons, tanning salons, chiropractors, massages, anything kind of service. You get the facials, there's a service tax. You know, he tried the soda tax. That didn't work. There is a baker's flour tax when they bake goods. They had it on David Letterman actually did a piece because he thought it was so absurd. 23 taxes, and if you brought it in Philadelphia, most people couldn't tell you that they were paying a tax over and above what they already paid. He's found taxes in crazy ways. The water sewer tax, people didn't – sewer management tax, what is that? 3% that he couldn't get last year in property, he stuck in your water bill and put it under sewer management tax.
Well, I don't know, but I'm glad the sewer's being managed because, you know, if it's not managed, what happens?
When's the last time you've seen the sewer manager in your neighborhood? I don't think you've ever been to mine.
I drive by it every so often. What's really nice is you don't smell it.
Well, go in South Philly on a rainy day and see how that sewer's being managed. Go down Sutter Avenue, you have to float. Sewer's coming back up to meet you.
Okay. Wow. You know, maybe they'll have a tax on the tax, and you know that'll work out real well then, won't it? We'll just round it all out.
I'm getting ready for him to add a tax. I said, you know what? He forgot businesses. He gave them the gross wage tax, the net profit tax, the net receipt tax, the trash tax. I said he forgot the address tax. I said he needs to get the addresses of the businesses that have three numbers in their address and charge them one thing, four numbers another. He forgot that. I mean, that's the one tax he missed.
All right. In your vision of greatness, you say, if Philadelphia is to again be the greatest city in America, we must remodel our government from the top to bottom. We must make it family friendly, business friendly, and job friendly. It sounds like you want to move a mountain.
It's just common sense. We need to, like you had said earlier, we're too top heavy. We need to really look at where we are. We have too much government and not enough people voice. He's got a bigger staff than Rendell, and Rendell had more people living here than we do now. He's made it so that the jobs look at either locating here or locating in the suburbs, and the suburbs look much better than we do because there's too much tax. There is the cabbies pay $35,000 for the medallion. Could you imagine how many years it takes to pay off your medallion tax? We've made it impossible to survive if you're a small business in this city. And there's no construction, no development going on, so labor's not working. He's got 26,000 empty lots and buildings that he could be selling for what the city has into it, generate that money, and put it into some of the services he's cutting, like the core services, and get labor back to work. People work, there's income coming in, there's money coming in the city. People don't work, there's no money. It's not brain surgery here, it's simple math. You need to get people back on their feet working so they spend the money in the city. You need to stop hiring crazy things like 311. Who needs somebody to dial a phone number? I'm capable of dialing my own phone number.
I'll tell you something. I wanted to bring my father to the Oyster House down at the Reading Terminal Market for Father's Day. And I got down there, and there was no place to park. All the garages were full. And, of course, the thing is I was getting ready to pay $25 to park, you know, for a short period of time just to go to the terminal market to buy something. What ended up happening was I didn't. The city didn't get that money. Well, actually, it did because I went down to 9th Street. But, you know, how do you expect somebody to pay $25 to park in a business district to go buy something when the parking costs more than what you're going to spend at the shops? How would you even address that? I mean, how do we make more parking? How do we make the parking more affordable?
I had proposed, and it's not in the vision of greatness because it's kind of it's part of the extended plan, but we want to make it so that people do come back into the city because I want them to spend their money here. We're looking to do something that Rendell had started, weekends free. I want it to be from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. on Monday. And the parking authority was ready to slam me when I said that, oh, we're not going to get our thing. They will, because what we want to do is get places like the Oyster House to buy smart cards and give them to their patrons so that they could literally park for 2-3 hours, however long they're going to be there, for free. And they could actually use that, actually come into Center City, Manayunk, Paschunk Avenue, places that are impossible to park. And it would give the turnaround so that there will be spots. You know, not that you can't use a parking lot, but you wouldn't have to. You could actually park on the street because you know wherever you're going to patronize, they're going to give you a smart card. You could park there for the 3 hours you're going to be in there, and they're going to get your business. You're going to get free parking. Everybody's happy. City's getting its money.
Well, yeah, you're going to bring money in from the suburbs, from other cities in the area. Philadelphia is a great place. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to shop. We'll be back in a second. You're listening to Between the Minutes on 860 AM WWDB and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security. Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of Townwatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a Townwatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a Townwatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show and talking to you about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you could purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. That's 1 year of protection for the low price of $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that is 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Between the Minutes continues on the Tri-State Area's Information Talk Station, 860 WWDB.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Our special guest is Karen Brown, running for mayor as a Republican in the city of Philadelphia. Karen, one of the things in your vision is, finally, we need to bring control of our schools home from Harrisburg. Our school board should be elected, each member representing a different part of the city. Before the state took over the school district, Philadelphia was the only county in Pennsylvania without an electric school board. The reason goes back to the bigoted thinking of the 19th century. It was felt that parochial school families would vote against public education. It's time to end this bigotry and bring public education back to the people. A few questions here. First question, the state took over the city of Philadelphia school system because the state felt that the school system was flushing. It was just going down the drain, and they wanted to see the kids get an education, so they tried. It's still flushing. What happened?
I think the state, unfortunately, I think the city didn't work with the state. The state worked on one end, the city worked on another, and they had no partnership. And that's part of the reason why I'm a Republican now, I'm proud to be it, because I have already initiated. I'm not waiting to take the mayor another seat. I'm already doing it. I'm doing something he's not. I'm working with the people in the state and trying to get cooperation from them as to where they're putting the money and why they're putting it there, because I want to understand what their thinking is, so that maybe even if we are not able to take the schools back, we can at least influence some of that thinking and direct the money where it should go, to the teachers. I want to convince them that the school reform board is not necessary, that we need to remove it, and we need to let the city elect a board that represents the city itself, because the city should have some say in their schools, because it's them that are using these schools. We are not in a financial position to take over that nut right now, because it's ridiculous, the money they're spending. We need to first revamp it and cut back some of the fiscal spending that they're doing to educate our kids, and find out why all this money is not doing what it's supposed to do, educate the kids. Why is it that a charter school is given a budget and they come out with a surplus, or actually come out so that they meet their budget and are educating the kids to a level much higher than the public school system, yet the public school system, which requires more, can't do the same? And I think the state is confused the same way the city is. They can't figure out what's going on. And Ackerman has no clue. I don't even know how she got that job, who she was friends with, but she really needs to go, because she doesn't have a clue. And laying off teachers is not the way to fix a public school system. That is absurd. She should be laying off some of the staff she has, not the teachers. We need more teachers, not less. They obviously are not doing their job, so how could you make less of them? What are we going to do, overcrowd the teachers that are trying to do something?
Well, probably. I mean, when I started off in parochial school and then later was in public school. My parochial school was 60 people in the classroom, and we all learned how to read and write had penmanship even. So I'm not so concerned as about how many students to teacher ratio there is as I am of effectiveness of the education. And that's a combination of the tools that are available to the teacher, the environment that's made available to the students and the teacher. There's a lot involved here. I mean, the fact that these guys don't seem to know what's going on and can't correct this problem, which has been longstanding, I guess it's not a big surprise, because the problem is they created it. But how are you going to fix it? Why can you fix it when, you know, for a couple of decades now, the problem hasn't been fixed?
There's a lot of reasons why I can fix it. The problem is everybody's afraid, the big elephant in the room. You know, do you remember the days of Daniel Boone?
Sure.
I do.
Well, I don't personally remember them. I'm not that old, but I remember watching Daniel Boone on TV. Yeah.
No. The Daniel Boone schools, where there's some kids that just don't want to get educated. They just are in that school to create nothing but trouble. If you go to Southern on any given lunch day, you'll see them. Unfortunately, they can't control those kids, and that is a deterrence for the teachers too. When I taught in public school, I was told to teach to the front of the classroom. Ignore those in the back. Are you kidding me? I taught in parochial school. I taught the whole classroom, 43 in a classroom, and it didn't matter what their behaviors were. There was accountability there. The parents were accountable. The teacher was accountable. There's none in the public school system. That's what's lacking. And nobody wants to hold anybody accountable. We have teachers that are on tenure that can read the newspaper, and as long as they show up and the kids show up, it's considered a school day. Are you kidding? We need to stop this nonsense. We need to show accountability, and that's why I'm encouraging merit pay. If you get a class that succeeds, then you deserve a pay raise. If you get a class that's failing, then you should be held accountable. It's the teachers that we need to reach, and we need to get them so that they want to teach again, that we give them an environment that makes them want to make these kids succeed. We need to do justice for our kids. We're not doing it now. We're just walking around this big elephant in the room, and everybody's afraid to be the first one to say it. There's too much top heavy, too much lax in accountability, and nobody's caring about the teachers, the kids getting educated.
Wow. I want to ask about the second half of this paragraph, which is that the reason goes back to bigoted thinking with the parochial schools. That's really inflammatory. I wasn't aware that this was it. Where did you get this information? Because this is really what you're saying is the reason we don't have an electric school board is because they're anti-Catholic.
It starts with the school voucher program. How long has that school voucher program been out there?
Not long.
No, it's been out for a while, because when I was teaching, it was taught, my kids were in grade school, they were talking about doing a voucher, and it was hidden, it's back. My son's 28 now, and he was in grade school when they first talked about vouchers, because we signed a little paper asking the House of Representatives to consider vouchers. They didn't want to give the Catholic schools the money to make a choice, or to give, because you're paying for a school system you're not using if you have a child in Catholic school, yet the state didn't want to give you anything in return, of like a voucher program. So I think the state was afraid back then that if they did something because they weren't going to give them a voucher program, that they may, if they had an elected school board, may vote against public school systems and vote for more parochial. That's not a situation now, because if you look around, the parochial schools are dying. The archdiocese can't sustain them. There's less and less grade schools, more and more of them closing up. We have less and less Catholic high schools. So that's not an issue now. Now, for the most part, you have a few parochial schools. It's mostly, in the game now, it's mostly public and charter. They're your two avenues of choice. And charter schools, there's waiting lists that are thousands long, and people can't get in. Yet they want to, but they can't. They're trying to pull strings. They get chummy with people just to get their kid in school. And they hold that lottery ticket like it was a real lottery ticket. That's a shame. We need to make our public schools competitive, and we're not.
Well, let me ask you a question. Not being a teacher myself, but you were. You know, I always hear about the teachers are not allowed to correct discipline in the classroom. They're not allowed to tell little Johnny, sit down, stop making a ruckus. They're not allowed to touch the student in any way. Is that true?
Yes.
How does that help or hurt the environment?
You can verbally correct the child as long as you don't verbally insult the child, but you can never touch a child. There's ways to hold. Teachers need to work with a family. Do you ever hear the old saying, it takes a community to raise a child?
Of course.
We need to get the parents awakened too. They need to be held accountable for their child. Some parents truly will. You know, I heard the old thing, well, parents don't care. They send their kids to public school and they could care less. It's a babysitting service. If David Hardy felt that way, Boys Latin wouldn't be here now. If you walk into Boys Latin, you see parents who are taking an interest in their children's education. It's in West Philly, where most people would think, oh, where's that school? It's near one of the suburbs. It's not. It's in West Philly. But yet he's given those parents a choice, a wonderful environment for their kids. But they need to be held accountable too. Because if the parents don't participate and the kids don't toe the line, they are out of there and there's 20 more people waiting to fill that spot. When you give a parent that environment, they will be accountable. They will work with the teachers. The teachers won't have as many discipline issues because everybody's on the same page. Right now, it's the teachers, they're out on their own. Parents are not taking interest, and the kids can do whatever they want. They have more control than anybody else.
You're listening to Between the Minutes on 860 AM WWDB. This is Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Ridotti. Our guest is Karen Brown, Republican for mayor in the city of Philadelphia. Tell me about the teachers' unions. Are they helping? Are they hurting? What's happening with the teachers' unions with this problem? You think that they would be very involved?
The teachers' unions are trying to push, you cannot fire these teachers. There's this thing called, and most people don't know about it, it's called the rubber rooms. That's a place where teachers who break the rules, who touch a child or do something they shouldn't have done, instead of getting fired because they have tenure, they go into this place called the rubber room. And we do have them, they do exist. And we are paying those teachers to show up. and they go online and they have a second job online while they're in this rubber room where there's actually a kitchen and a refrigerator and a TV, and they can listen. They can probably listen to me right now. And this, they're getting paid. As long as they show up at 9 and leave at 3, they're getting paid. Meanwhile, we have to hire another teacher to fill their spot where they were teaching.
That actually sounds like a form of torture.
It's what it is we've become a place where no matter what you do, you can never be fired. And that's what nothing against the unions, because I want to work with them to try to fix the problems with the schools, because I believe they have a place in the teachers' workplace. But I believe that there's certain things that they have done which have lessened the accountability in teachers. And tenure is one of them. Rubber room is another. If a teacher does something that is causing them to be fired, just because they have tenure, you don't fire them, that's absurd. If you were working in the private industry and you did something to be fired, you were fired. There's no rubber room for you. You don't. When you get fired, you don't go to a rubber room and stay there for a year and collect the pay for watching Oprah on TV. But yet we allow the teachers to do that. And that's ridiculous. That's where a lot of that money that she's spending is going, to these teachers that break the rules that we're paying for and then have to hire somebody else to do their job.
Well, with the exception of a few people, I would imagine that they don't particularly want to be in that rubber room.
Well, some of those teachers feel very frustrated, and they've done what they did because of that frustration. They feel as though they can't get their message across, they can't teach, and nobody's listening. And I understand that. Being a former teacher, I know how frustrating it could be. That's why I didn't stay in the public school system. I went back to the parochial, because there is a lack of accountability and there's a lack of concern. The principals don't care. As long as you show up, as long as nobody's killing anybody in the room, and as long as everybody leaves at 3, they've done their job. They don't care if little Johnny can read on a 10th grade reading level and he's in 12th, or even worse, he could read on a second grade reading level and he's in 12th. It means nothing to them. You know, these tests, that's all for show. We actually are not reaching the kids. We really are not, because I've been in schools. Trust me, I'm part of a civic group. Even before I decided to run, I used to go into the schools because I'm part of the parent partner group. And we used to try to work with the kids that had problems. I would hear the principal say, just teach to the test. We got to get our scores up. Are you kidding me? Who's teaching the kid?
Right. Those kids aren't going to get a test when they graduate and leave school. They're going to get a job. And if they can't do it, they're not going to keep the job. You know? I got another question for you. In your vision statement again, we require restaurants to list calories, businesses to provide family leave, taverns to ban smoking, city workers get benefits far better than private industry. We need to switch from platinum pensions to 401ks. Thanks to civil service and union contracts, it's impossible to fire anyone. Okay, how are you going to do any of that?
I'm going to work with the unions, because the unions are hurting right now. They have no contracts. They're not. Their people are not working. We have to work with the unions to try to come up with something that's going to work for everybody. We can't bend over backwards either way. But, you know, we've made it so that small businesses have to meet so many requirements before they even open, that we've put so much burden on them. And now they're trying to make it so that they want to pay for their employees to have sick benefits. How much more is it going to take before the businesses run out of here? We have to find ways to employ people, yes, but we also have to work with the businesses so that everybody's happy. It shouldn't be one-sided. And I'm not against unions. I'm a union girl. But we have to look at what we've done. We've bent over backwards so much one way that we're killing the businesses on the other. And what good is it having a great union if you don't have businesses employing those people?
Well, that's a good comment. We'll be back in a minute. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB. You can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security. Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, the Executive Director of Townwatch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Ridotti of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you. We need you to get involved in your community by joining a Townwatch in the city of Philadelphia.
How do I do that?
Or you reach out to me at 215-686-1459 or at www.townwatch.net. And we provide you with training, equipment, and the type of support you will need to be involved in your community.
So I can really join?
You can really join.
Join us at Philadelphia Townwatch Integrated Services.
Hi, this is Pete Ridotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show and talking to you about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you could purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. That's 1 year of protection for the low price of $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that is 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 860 WWDB with your host, Peter Ridotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Ridotti. Our guest has been Karen Brown, the Republican running for mayor. She had to run to another meeting. However, we're going to continue talking about it. I have my friend J.J. DePhillips here, and in a little bit, Frank Cheech Amable will be returning. JJ, what do you think of what she had to say so far?
I think she has a lot of great points. Once again, okay, why not take the administrators who are making a lot of money? Okay, they're probably making $150,000 a year or better.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Who wouldn't take that job for $100,000 a year?
And there's a lot of them.
Okay, who wouldn't take that job for $100,000 a year? So if you have 50 administrators times $50,000 is how much?
I think it's a good deal more than 50 administrators.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure there is, but that's just a number to grab one. Okay, so once again, what you have is an opportunity to take and save $500,000 or $1 million right there. Meanwhile, $1 million divided by a teacher's salary means you bring on maybe an additional 30 teachers, 40 teachers.
Yeah, I don't know what the I don't understand the politics of the situation entirely, but I don't. Why couldn't city council or the mayor just say, you know what, we're not giving you any more money until you correct this problem with being top heavy?
Well, right, you're right, and once again, okay, it's almost like everyone wants to be a boss. And the people in the field, okay, they're doing the minimum because of the simple fact that their hands are tied a lot, as well as they're not able to go in there and say, hey, sit down, do what you're supposed to do, not what you want to do. It's anymore, it's almost like do what you want to do because no one's there to correct you, or they're not allowed to correct you.
Yeah, well, you can't run a shovel while your hands are tied. That's for certain, and that is the environment that the teachers find themselves in. And the fact that there's a lot of money being spent on this superfluous overhead just makes matters worse, because if you're a teacher and you're trying to get your job done and you have all these roadblocks and you're seeing these people who basically aren't teaching being paid a lot of money and there's a lot of them, that's going to really irritate you.
Well, sure, of course. And then once again, unfortunately, okay, being the mayor of Philadelphia as well as any other big city has to be a really tedious job because of the situation today where there's a lot of demand versus a lot of satisfaction, as well as a lot of accomplishments, because how do you go out there and it has to drive people crazy, okay? And this weekend alone with 33 shootings, okay? 33 shootings, first weekend of summer. Summer just started, and you still have how many weeks left? How many weeks left are in summer still?
It's not going to help the tourist situation, and tourism is important to the city. Nope. Even if it's just from the suburbs, that's money coming in. And if people think they're going to be shot, they're not going to come.
And so you know, not just Philadelphia, okay, because I found that over the weekend in Wildwood during the Memorial Day weekend, they had a problem in Wildwood also with the gang situations.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, once again, okay, most of it's because the parents are told we can't correct the kids. Don't hit your child. And once again, that's a true story. And the schools teach the kids to go home and call 911 if your parents yell at you, they look at you the wrong way, or they smack you.
Well, you're right. That is a serious problem. I mean, if you're a parent today, how do you know what you can and can't do? Why does the government even get involved? I mean, there's a difference between swatting a kid on the backside and, you know, beating him.
Sure.
And these legislatures don't seem to realize that there's any difference. So what you're doing, I guess, is creating kids with no self-respect and no discipline. They've never been disciplined. They have no walls that they know where the social norms are.
Right, right. Yep, you're right. And there's no guidelines, okay, because they're told, you know, if this happens, go right ahead, okay?
You know, they attribute this don't spank your kid to Dr. Spock, and he did an interview once, and he said, that was not me. I never said that. So, anyway, so tell me, you know, what did you think about what she had to say?
I really believe, okay, she had a lot of positive stuff to say. And once again, with the firemen, the police departments, those departments, okay, do need the extra manpower. They need people on the street, okay, with the police department. They need people on the street with the fire department, as well as you have an organization, like you mentioned, about the Town Watch organization, okay? Town Watch does a really good job with what they have to work with. And once again, they need a little bit more. So for people to say, we're going to cut you back here, we're taking this away, it's not really fair because, in a certain way, okay, Town Watch is actually an arm of the police department that helps them with trying to keep the community safe.
Yeah. Listen, you've spent a lot of years in radio. You know the media. At least, you know radio. What is the problem? Why is the media ignoring her? Why are they referring to her as Mayor Nutter's opponent instead of by her name?
I can't speak for anyone, but I would guess it's for the simple fact that, once again, you have all those years as it being a Democratic city. Once again, Philadelphia is a Democratic city, no matter how you look at it, okay? She's actually looking to make a change, and most people don't like change. Change is not something people accept very, very easily. And
well, yeah, I mean, change is hard because it's different. I mean, everybody's comfortable with what they have, even if what they have is torturing them slowly.
Yeah, but you know what? Once again, okay, see, here's the thing. When your city's been run by one party all these years, no matter whether the person is right or wrong, they're still doing an uphill battle. They're fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah. So, well, this is going to really come down to who are the unions going to support? Are they going to support Mayor Nutter and his policies, or are they going to support candidate Brown and her policies? And, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but certainly Karen Brown has made sense. We've invited Mayor Nutter on the show, and he has not replied to us. So, Mayor Nutter, if you're listening, come on the show.
I would like to see it because I really believe that they both have a lot of strong points, okay? And once again, okay, she's not afraid to say what's on her mind and say what she would like to make the corrections in to make this a better city. Philadelphia is a great city. It always was. It always will be. But it just needs to be redirected a little bit.
Yeah, well, as always, our show time is almost up. I can't believe we've actually been here an hour now, and the time is just about gone. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. We'll be back with more Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB next week.